Okay, let's look at how it could work in a educational setting. And let's retrack a bit, because Gavin just asked a question about how the Wi-Fi technically works or is provided. So anytime you just open up your laptop, it's obviously got a Wi-Fi card in it, and it can both receive Wi-Fi, but it can also broadcast, so you could share your connection. So you can open up your laptop, and now everyone within, let's say, I don't know, about 20, 30 meters could be connected to you. You can enhance that by building antennas, and there's a sort of way of doing that where you have a little cable coming out, and then you can build out of a Pringle can, or you can weld, or you can sculpt these antennas, and then you can connect your Wi-Fi on this laptop to something like a kilometer away. I've done it with a thing, for instance, in my flat to the Finsbury Park, and we broadcast music from the park, and that's probably about a quarter of a kilometre. So you can reach, it's just shaping the wave rather than it now doing that omnidirectional. You can make point-to-point connections, and literally the only cost are making these antennas, which you can do by hand, or you can buy them quite cheaply, and or even just opening up a bunch of laptops and dotting them around the place. And as long as they're kind of in line of sight sort of connection, you can make these so-called web mesh networks. So there's nothing you need other than mobile phones, laptops, and a few wires and making these cables to do that. And so you don't need any provider, you don't need any telephone company or anything. So how could that be used in an educational context is, Elfiner was talking about, which I've also read quite a lot about in the last 2-3 years, how the educational situation has changed quite a lot, with a lot of very small, micro, private schools popping up around the world, right? So these are not just the state-provided ones, but it's kind of, I drop my kids off there, and people are actually paying for these because the state's not providing that. And they range from really sort of basic to more sort of elite, almost like private schools. And what Elfiner was saying is a slightly similar story, is that they, even in these rural villages, they weren't waiting for the state to provide the schools. They were chipping in money, they were forming their own educational resources and creating these things in a way which he hadn't quite seen before. And because of that kind of social initiative, if you like, and inventiveness, it's possible for the first time to bring these sorts of like remote weird startup-y ideas that we might have and experience here, and there'll be people on the ground who have a need to do it in their school. So they don't have educational material, but if they have just one PC and a Wi-Fi network, and if they're serving a need in the overall community, then that means the overall community got even more need to maybe fund that kind of Wi-Fi network stroke media radio hub. And they can collect not just news that is of general use to the community, and it could be weather news, it could be farming information, it could be all sorts of things, but specifically educational material. And there's so much readily available educational material, open source, Wikipedia stuff, and specific educational content, you know, stuff that we're talking about creating now, as well as the kind of Code Academy, Khan Academy type stuff, that you can curate specific chunks of material on a kind of hard disk. We can do research, people who are in cities can do research, they say we'd like stuff on this, we put it together, and then they get it on a USB drive, or they download it onto a phone when they're somewhere with Wi-Fi, and then they take it to the school, upload it there, and then it's distributed over Wi-Fi locally. So the idea of combining the kind of fun media information news element that you have with the radio station with an educational school thing, and making that a sustainable economic unit, seemed to me something that kind of excited me. And I was thinking originally when he was talking, oh, I haven't got the mobile phone connection, I can't do this, I couldn't do that, and the battery's running out, I was thinking, oh, like it's a bit of a downer, we're not communicating so well. But now I thought, actually it's brilliant, it's actually a perfect opportunity, because there's a real need there, and exactly the same technology we're talking about could well not just technically solve the problem, but incentive and sustainably solve the problem. Because it looks like the schools, and we were talking, or I was talking with Nina about some situation with the guy in Kafanchan who was interested in rap music and what's his relevance and what's he get, why is he doing this project. There are different generations who have different need. So there's like local people who might be interested in general news and weather and other things that might be relevant to that. There's young people who might want to do a music label or get into journalism and find out what's really happening in the world, where I could go. And then there's, if you like, families and mothers and parents and young kids who've got some educational material that they need. And you could put those in one kind of hub, one building, and it can be funded in the same way the school's funded now, or some places are funding a local radio station. Businesses could put advertising on it. And if you can package that down, you could have a local sustainable education and information initiative, which seems to work using mobile phones and Wi-Fi in a way I didn't think was particularly realistic before. So don't know if it is. We can ask Elfine these questions, find out what is going on. And I don't know what other people thought, but I thought, yeah, just record that idea and see if it works or see what people think about it.